Certainly glad to be here with you all again today. I missed everybody last Sunday. We were in Midland last Sunday with that church. We had a good time praising and fellowshipping with saints down there, but it's certainly a joy to be back in my home church and to be back among all of you all. We have some that are out missing today. We have some people that are traveling, and we have some that are sick and need our prayers. So if you will, please bow with me as we pray for this service, and I trust that we'll keep a prayerful heart throughout the remainder of the service. Heavenly Father, we are just humbled to be in your presence this morning. Lord, we are thankful that we can come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. Lord, we need your help to praise you this morning. Lord, I pray that you would fill our hearts with your presence. I pray that you would block everything else out. I pray that we would forget the cares and the distractions of the world for a few brief moments as we come to consider the scripture. I pray that we will do so with prayerful hearts, that we will do it with love and grace, that, Lord, that as we look at the scriptures this morning, that we will try to consume it and try to apply it to our lives and not just read over it and stow it away intellectually, but I pray that we could know it in our hearts and feel it. I pray that it would be for our edification and for our building up. I pray that it would help us to be able to worship you more closely to what is taught in the Bible. I pray that it would just elevate the level of praise that we can give to you in our lives. I pray that it would be for the benefit of living out the Christian life day by day and minute by minute throughout the week wherever we go. I pray that we would let our light shine in this world, that we would take the principles that we learn here on Sunday mornings and that we sing here in these songs and that we hear preached in the Word, and that we would apply it to every single interaction that we have in our life as we go throughout the week. Lord, I pray that you be with those who cannot be here this morning. Lord, for those who are traveling, I pray that you would grant those traveling mercies on their journey. I pray that they'll be delivered back safe home again. And Lord, for those who are on the bed of infirmity, I pray that you will bless them. I pray that you will give them healing. I pray that the road to recovery will be quick for them. And I pray that you will give comfort to them and peace and comfort to their families and to those attending to them. And Lord, again, I ask that you would be with me this morning. I pray that you would bless me to preach the word. I pray that you would fill my mouth with the words that you would have me to say. I pray that I would have liberty this morning. And Lord, bless the hearts of all those who hear this message, that they would receive it. And I pray that in spite of my delivery, Lord, and I pray that you would take it and that you would bless it. For Lord, I know that no preaching can be done if the Spirit is not involved. And I pray that you would be heavily involved this morning. I pray that the words that I bring could be nourishing for the souls of those who hear it, and that it would point them to Jesus. I pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We've been in the book of 1 John, so let's turn back to 1 John this morning. We're going to be in the book of 1 John chapter 2. We're going to be in the third verse in the second chapter. He says, "And hereby do we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." In that third verse, he says that if we know Jesus Christ, we're going to keep his commandments. That's how we know that we know him. If you don't keep his commandments, you're not going to have that knowledge. This word here, Hereby do we know that we know him. You know, the book of James says that even the devils know that there is a God. They know that there is a God, and that causes them to tremble with fear because they know their end, they know their destruction. But this word here isn't just a head knowledge. This word, hereby do we know that we know him, that is talking about on a deeper level. That word know right there, that is used in the intimate sense. That is not just a head knowledge, but that is meaning that you understand it. You feel it down in your heart. You have that heart knowledge of God. If you know him, if you love Jesus Christ. How do we know that we know him? Because we keep his commandments. We're going to keep his commandments. We do this not because we're trying to curry favor with God, not because we're trying to save ourselves, but we do it because we love God, because we know, he is our head, he is our great high priest. We just talked about last week or 2 weeks ago, we talked about Jesus Christ being our advocate with the Father. He is our lawyer. He is interceding for us at the right hand of God, advocating for us. He is the propitiation for our sins. He is the total propitiation. He is the redemption. And it is by him and through him that not only do we love God, not only are we his children, but also through the blood of Jesus Christ, God loves us. And when he sees us through that lens, when God looks at us through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are white, we are pure, and he loves us just like he loves Jesus, because the righteousness of Jesus was imputed to us when he died for us. And so now we have a relationship with God. We have, through Jesus Christ, we have that relationship. And when you have a relationship with somebody, you're going to keep him happy. You're going to do things not because you're afraid of them. You're not because you are just trying to, some kind of utilitarian, well, I'm just trying to get something out of you. You do that because you love that person. Those of you who are married, you do things to please your spouse. You sometimes you might wake up extra early. You might take over their morning routine. You might, if you're a husband, you might wake up extra early and fix her breakfast. You might do the laundry for her. Especially if she's been having a rough time, you might take on some extra duties. If you're a wife, maybe you're going to put an extra sandwich in your husband's lunchbox or whatever the case may be. But you're not doing that because you're just trying to stave off their anger. You do that because you do those things for your wife. You do those things for your husband because you love them. You're not going to just completely go against their what their will is. You're not going to do things. You're not just going to take disregard towards them. And when we are not keeping his commandments, showing that we're disregarding Jesus in that moment. You know, this when I read this verse, it brings to mind 2 Peter, the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. So in the book of 2 Peter, verses 1, 9 through 10, he says, But he that lacketh these things, and if you want to read those things, that's starting in verse 5, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and he cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. when we are putting off, when we are not giving heed to the things that he mentioned, virtue, knowledge, temperance, godliness, patience, brotherly kindness, we have forgotten. It's as if we've forgotten that we're purged from those old sins. We are no longer acting like Jesus acted, but we're acting like the world. We're not bearing the fruits of the Spirit when we're doing that. You see, we've been purged from these old things. We've been given a new nature, and we've been given the ability to put off these old things, to put away malice, and to put away just being very harsh and critical with people. We're able to have temperance. That's talking about if you're able to have moderation, if you're able to control yourself, if you're able to subdue maybe those impulsive thoughts that you get sometimes. You know, sometimes you do get these thoughts. You get these sudden urges of the old flesh sometimes. And it is through Jesus Christ, it is through his blood that we are in fact able to put off those things, to not do that. And he says, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now, when he's talking about that, he's not saying, as we said, he's not saying, well, you better do these things because you're going to, if you don't do all these things, if you're not kind, if you're not loving, if you're not showing charity to people, you might lose your election. You're going to lose your calling. That's not what the verse says at all. We read in many other places, especially by the Apostle Peter himself, and what we just read in 1 John, that Jesus is the propitiation of our sins. Jesus is the reason that we have the relationship with God. He's the reason that we have anything good in our lives that we have is from Jesus Christ. So this word here, this phrase here. Make your calling and election sure. When you're putting on these virtues, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, that is making it sure to yourself. That is giving yourself assurance. See, sometimes when you're living like the world and you're not following the example of Jesus Christ, it is easy to get into a state of spiritual coldness. It is easy to say, what if I'm born again? Why am I doing all these things? Why am I committing these terrible sins? You can temporarily lose that assurance, and that is why it is so important when you do that we go back to what we have examined the past few weeks about confessing our faults, looking to Jesus to be our propitiation, praying in the name of Jesus to God the Father, because God is a just God who is faithful to forgive us when we confess our faults. And we have Jesus Christ right there on the right hand advocating for us as we're saying these. The Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. But this calling and election here, making it sure, you're not making it sure as in, I'm going to make sure that I keep it. I'm going to make sure that I attain it. There's nothing that you did to earn your salvation, and there's nothing you can do to keep your salvation. Nobody can pluck you from the hand of God, not even yourself. But right here, you can have your assurance clear to you. You can show the evidence, because what this is saying in 1 John, when you're saying, if he keeps not his commandments, he's a liar, the truth is not in him. That means that if somebody who does not love God, somebody who has not been born again, they're not going to follow after the things of God. They're not going to keep the commandments of Jesus Christ because they don't have that ability to. And when you are following that example, when you have gone into a place of spiritual coldness, that can be a very dire situation for you spiritually. Not because you're going to lose your salvation, because you're going to have a coldness with Jesus Christ. You're going to, it could be a very tough time for you. You see, we know that we're going to sin. We know that we still have that sin nature, as we talked about. But somebody who is just continually bearing bad fruit, somebody who does not exhibit the fruits of the Spirit, they're not showing any evidence that they have been saved. It says, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Just because you say the sinner's prayer or what have you, you know, I've known some that say, "Well, I don't really, that hell sounds like a bad place, so I said the sinner's prayer last week, and I figure that's good enough to at least get me in the door." But this individual was continually consuming substances, abusing them every night, five nights a week. It was even getting in the way of his ability to even function in life and to work. And that is not the virtue. That is not the traits that a child of God is going to exhibit. You're still going to slip and mess up, but you're not going to continually abide in sin, because we know that we don't know who has been saved. We don't know who is going to heaven and who is going to hell. We don't know who all the children of God are, but you can examine yourself, and we should examine ourselves. And are we bringing forth good fruit? Or are we bringing forth bad fruit? If you go and look at the words of Jesus in the book of Matthew chapter 7, you probably know where I'm turning, but if you go to the book of Matthew chapter 7, verses 17 through 20, it says, Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits shall ye know them. You can look at yourself, you can examine your life and see, are you bearing the fruits of Jesus? Are you bearing that godly, that righteous fruit? Or are you following the example of are you following the example of the world? Are you following Jesus? But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him also ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. So if we're keeping, you know, those that don't keep his commandments, but say that they know him, the truth is not in them. And, you know, what was going on right now in this time was there was many people that had gone out from the church. They were trying to start up their own little sects. There are some Gnostics that were in there that were trying to infiltrate the church, and they were trying to lead people away from the true knowledge that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that Jesus Christ is the divine Son of God. They were teaching many false things. He says, just because they say, "Well, yeah, I know Jesus, but I'm not gonna keep his commandments. I'm not gonna do the things that Jesus said. I'm not going to believe the truth about Jesus." Just that person is a liar, and you shouldn't believe them. That passage in Matthew chapter 7, it does apply to everybody, but the specific context was he was talking about false prophets coming in, and that's how you can tell who these false prophets are and these false professors. If they're bearing forth bad fruit, don't follow that person. If somebody is not bearing forth the fruit of God, that righteous fruit, don't follow after that person. Don't follow his example, because the truth is not in him. If you're not keeping the truth of God, then you have something else in you. I don't know what it is, but it's not the truth of God. Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. What we can do, that we do know that we are in God, What we do know for a fact that what the will of God is for us to read His Word, to keep His Word. That's why He gave us, God gave us this book that we have, this collection of 66 books that is the Bible. We are to keep His Word. We are to read it. We are to consider it. We're to apply it to our hearts, and not just read it and kind of throw it away, or just kind of say, "Well, I think I understand that on a complete academic level." We need to take that and apply it to our very souls, and to take that and to live out what we read in the Scripture. You know, it's not just a good book filled with some tips and with some good stories, but this is an instruction manual that God has given to us. It is something that He's given to us for correction, instruction, for rebuke, for instruction in righteousness, for all these things. That is what this word is for. We're to keep the commandments of God. Jesus Himself said in the book of John, "If you love Me, you will keep My commandments." You know, and I just love. I've been having a fun time reading the book of 1 John, because it's almost like rereading the gospel when you read the book of 1 John. The many parallels, especially to the book of John, which was by the same apostle. Now, we know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We know that the Holy Spirit is the author of the book, but He used the Apostle John to write both this book and the Gospel of John. And reading in here, almost every verse that you read, you're going to find a connection to at least one, if not multiple, gospel passages. It's just a wonderful thing to read. And you know, just in this specifically, but just in general, the Bible just fits together so well, and ties in together so well. And so many, you know, there's no way a book that is written over 1,500 years by 40 different authors could have this kind of consistency and this kind of staying on the message and being this intricate if it was not put together by a holy and a perfect God. I think I read somewhere they have a graph. If you can look it up online, it shows that there's 65,000 times where the Scripture references itself and other parts of Scriptures. It's a wonderful thing. But you know, we're not going to be able to keep His Word if we're not reading it. We're not reading it every day, and don't just speed read through it. Don't just try to, "Well, I've got to do my reading," but you can take it slow. My grandmother, she used to read. She wouldn't get very far through the Bible in a single day, but she would go up and she would read it, and she would follow that center column, and she would just follow all the references for each verse. She would go down every little rabbit trail, every nook and cranny that you could find. You know, you don't have to read the Bible twice, you know, read through the whole Bible twice a year. You know, if you want to read the Bible straight through from front to back, that's in a year, that's certainly a good thing to do. But we shouldn't just read through the Bible. Just you pick it up for 5 to 10 minutes, you kind of skim over it, and then you put it down. No, get some aids, get a concordance. You can download some commentaries online if you're not available to go to a bookstore and buy them, and you can really search the Scriptures. You can really dig into it, because to keep His Word, you're going to have to know. You're going to have to do more than just a cursory glance. You're going to, if you just take one verse way out of context, you're going to get completely the wrong idea. You need to know who is talking, who is speaking, who is being spoken to. You know, what is going on in this verse. You know, is this God speaking to somebody? Is this somebody speaking against God? What is going on? But if we're keeping the Word of God, if we're keeping Jesus' commandments, we can know that we are in Him. We can make our calling and election sure. You know, the love of God is in Him, verily the love of God is perfected. Again, you need to know what is going on. You need to have a system of theology built. You need to know what's going on in other passages so you can decipher what's being said here. What's being said is not that the love of God towards you is being perfected. It's not that, again, not that you have to do these things to make sure that God's love towards you is perfectly in order, but that your love towards God, your love of God is perfected by keeping the word. It's perfected by keeping his commandments, by following Jesus Christ. And then in the next verse, what does it say? Verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. That's talking about the way that Jesus walked. We just sang the song, Footsteps of Jesus, you know, and that is a song that, you know, it's kind of, some people have called it a child's song, a good children's song that's easy to remember. But if you think about that, every word of that song we should take straight to heart, because that is the principle that is taught in so many different places, is that we need to keep the steps of Jesus. We need to follow his example. No matter what we're doing in life, no matter where we're going, we have an example of how to live. You know, sometimes we say, well, we wish that life came with an instruction manual. We wish that life came with a rule book that told us everything we need to do. Well, you know, we do have the Bible, and we do have the ministry of Jesus to look at. And sure, they're not going to, you're not going to open it up, and you're not going to say, in 2024, Jacob, you need to go invest in this startup company, or you need to go out and buy you a brand new F-150. You know, you're not going to find something like that, but you are going to find principles that you can apply to everyday life. You can see the way that Jesus interacted with others, and you can take that, and you can interact with others in that same way yourself. You can see that Jesus Christ, he prayed to the Father over and over again. You see him constantly praying to God, and he is saying that I came down to do the will of the Father. I'm here to submit to the Father and do his will. And we can take that and we can apply that to our lives. We need to be saying to ourselves and living out in our lives that we are not here to do our own will, but we are down here to do the will of God that has put us on this earth. You know, we are not our own. We are bought with a price. And God has a plan for us to do. Who are we to say that we can go against God? God has a will for us. God put us here. God made us. You know, this whole earth belongs to God. I was talking to Heather the other day, and I was saying, well, you know, this is, if we want to do something with our property, we should not have to worry about what other people are. You know, we're talking about the reasons we live in the country. You know, we don't want to have to buy, you know, or, well, we don't want to live by other people's rules. We want to do what we want to do because it belongs to us. And I had to stop myself, and I said, wait a second. This property doesn't belong to me. This property belongs to God, and I need to be a good steward of it, and that needs to be my mindset. We're here on this earth where, we should be mindful of not trashing it, of keeping it clean and keeping it orderly, but this is God's earth. We don't want to worship it, make it into an idol, but we are here to be stewards. And we're going to, but our main focus should be is to walk as Jesus walked. No matter what needed to be done, Jesus Christ rose up and did it. Jesus Christ, you can look at many places where he would take his disciples and they would go up to a desert place to, you know, kind of seem like they're trying to get away from people, and here the people would come. What did you know? Jesus didn't turn people away. You don't read of Jesus saying, well, you know what, I've been pretty busy this week, and, you know, I'm just kind of tired, and maybe I'll get back with you next week. If you call my secretary, they can set up, you know, your people call my people, we'll set up a meeting. No, Jesus, he took every single person that came to him, He gave them an ear. He did. He would talk to them. He would heal them if they. He would serve them in whatever way was needed, in whatever capacity was needed in that time. And we should have that. We should follow that example. Don't turn others away. All the things that Peter mentioned in that passage we read earlier, if you want to know what all that looks like in day-to-day life when you're interacting with people, go read the Gospels, read the life of Jesus, because Jesus showed all of those things. Every single one of those characteristics were exhibited by Jesus Christ. So all of us that abide in Jesus Christ, all of us, we ought to walk as Jesus Christ. Don't walk as the world. Don't follow after what the world wants you to do, but go after Jesus. Verse 7, "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word again which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth." In these verses right here, he says, look, I'm not writing you a new commandment. This has been given to you from the beginning. This was given to you by Moses and by the law and the prophets. This was taught in the Old Testament. I'm not bringing forth anything new here about keeping the word of God and the way that you ought to act. But yes, these are principles that are taught from the beginning, but it's also a new commandment, is that it's a new commandment because it was also issued by Jesus. The old commandments, the old law was brought in darkness because Jesus had not entered the world. The light had not come down to shine in the world. And so you see types and shadows of Jesus Christ. You see symbols and you see things that are pointing to Jesus Christ. But when Jesus Christ comes, the light comes. It spreads a light on all the shadowy places. It clears up the darkness. That's why he says the darkness is past and the true light now shineth, because now we have the light of Jesus Christ. We have the Gospels that are written. The Messiah has come, and he has given us a new commandment to love each other. But he takes it even farther than the Old Testament takes it. He gives it in a new light, in a new context. We can really know exactly how it's done. We're not depending on types and shadows anymore. We're not looking at symbols, but we're looking at the real deal. We're looking at the express image of God. And what he's referencing in here is, again, I'll go to the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Jesus talking to them. He's giving them some comforting words, because he's telling them that he's about to be delivered up to be crucified. He's telling them, I'm about to go away, and he's giving them some instruction in these last days before he's crucified. And verse 34, he says, "A new commandment that I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." And I like what Brother Lucier Bradley calls that. He calls that the badge of discipleship. How do people know that you are a disciple? They're going to look at you, and they're going to see that you exhibit the love of Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's talking about when in verse 6, when he says, "He abideth in him, ought himself also to walk as he walked." He's saying you need to exhibit the love of Jesus Christ. Show the love that the same love that Jesus Christ had for us is the love that we need to show one to another. We need to try to show the love of Jesus in our lives and when we interact with each other. If you want to go through and read the book of 1 John, it would be beneficial. You can go back and you can connect it with all the various places in the book of the Gospel of John. So we're going to abide in the light because Jesus is the light. The true light now shineth, and we can follow this commandment that Jesus has given to us. It says, "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." When you're not walking, you know, we talk about in the first chapter, we talked about walking in the light, walking in the light of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and realizing who Jesus is and what he has done for us is the most important thing. And when we have that knowledge, when we're walking in that light, we're not going to hate our brother. But this hatred, the hatred that you have, if you're hating your brother, you're not going to be in the light. You're walking in darkness, and that hatred is going to cloud your vision. It's going to darken your mind, and you're not going to know where you're going. You're going to end up making many mistakes because you're feeding that hatred. You know, Jesus doesn't ever command us to hate any person. He commands us to love each other. He commands us to bless those that curse you and do good to those that spitefully use you. Love your enemies. You know, be kind towards the people that are your rivals in society, or maybe that coworker that's competing with you for a job, or those people that are making fun of you at work for being a Christian, or maybe they're making fun of you for some other reason. Maybe they don't like you because you wear a shirt with a collar and it's not buttoned all the way to the top. You know, whatever the case may be, don't revile back when you've been reviled. You know, love those that be kind to those that do evil to you. But if you hate your brother, if you're hating, you know, a brother or sister in Christ, you're going to be in severe darkness. You're going to be in error, and that can lead to many hurts and to many pains. But when we are loving each other, when we are serving one another, you know, and when we talk about loving your brother or loving a sister, you know, please understand that doesn't just mean you're going to support every decision they make. Some people say, "Well, I love my brother, or I love my son, and I'm just going to support whatever decision he makes. I'm going to support that decision." Well, no, you shouldn't do that, because some of those decisions are pretty bad. Some of those decisions are not in accordance with the Bible. And if you really love a brother, you're going to go to that person. If you see that they are in error, you're going to go to that person and that person alone. You're not going to go to a different brother or a different sister. You're not going to go to all the other brothers or all the other sisters. You're going to go to that person and say, "You know, brother, I think there may be a problem here." You're going to come humbly, and you're going to speak the truth in love. You're not going to come up there and you know, have your, you know, thumbs in your suspenders and say, "Well, now let me tell you what, I'm a pretty good authority on what the scripture says here, and this is everything that you're doing bad, and if you just do the things like I do them, you'd be pretty good." No, that's not first of all, you yourself are lifted up in pride in that moment, if that's the heart you're taking to it. And second of all, you're not going to reach that person because you're not coming humbly, you're not coming in kindness, you're coming in the wrong spirit, and that effort is not going to be blessed. And sometimes when you disagree with people, you have to, if they are doing something that is a grave error, you do need to confront them, and you do need to bring the truth of the gospel to them. But you need to make sure first, before you say anything, you need to examine yourself and say, am I the one that's wrong here? Am I the one that should have a different spirit about this issue? You know, so there's been times when I've said, well, I think I have an issue with this brother. I need to go talk to him about it. And so I read the scriptures and I say, well, I need to make sure I have my ducks in a row. And then I figure out that I'm actually in the wrong in my complaints, and I don't have a reason to be upset with that person. And that moment I say, well, God, please help me, a poor sinner. I need your help and I need your grace, because I see that I'm not in the right here. But you're going to love your, if you're hating your brother, if you have malice in your heart towards one of your brothers in Christ, you're going to stumble. You're going to do that. And you know what? If you have malice in your heart towards others, you're not walking in the light. You're not walking in the light. You're not abiding in the light, and you're not fulfilling. You're not walking after the example of Jesus Christ. You know, loving your brother, it's almost the most important thing you can do. You know, going back again to, you don't have to, I'll read the reference for you, the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 37. I'll go there real quick. I know this is a lot of flipping back and forth, and I can give you some of these references if you've missed them. And hopefully you'll take what I've said here today and go search the scriptures like the noble Bereans. If you go to the book of Matthew, chapter 22, I'll back up a couple of verses. And you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were always trying to trip up Jesus. They're always trying to catch him in a trap. They're trying to ask him trick questions and say, "Well, we got, you know, it's just." It makes you think of some of these modern day, you know, journalists that they have in the media. They try to trap you. They ask you a trap question or a trick question. They got a gotcha statement. Well, they tried over and over again, and little did they know you're not going to be able to trick. You're not going to be able to have a gotcha statement when you're talking to the all-powerful, all-knowing God. I mean, you can't even understand the intellect that he possesses. You're not going to catch him in anything. And he gives a perfect answer every time. That's why we need to study the way that Jesus lived, so we can be more like him and we can walk after him, our great example. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, you know, he's asking this question, he's not even really wanting to know. He's just trying to trick him. He's trying to catch him in a trap. You know, and sometimes we can see this coming and we can get mad or whatever and say, well, this is just a trick. But Jesus answers this and he gives the perfect answer. Verse 36, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And you know, and that's exactly what John is saying here. This is not anything new. All the law and the prophets taught these two taught this. You can go to the book of Deuteronomy and find where this exact verse is referenced. And so that's why, and it's interesting that John, you know, that was in the book of Matthew, that wasn't in the book of John, but you can see that John kind of takes the first order, that same order that Jesus takes. Jesus says, the first and great commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and the second is to love your neighbor. And so John over here, he comes in here and he says that, you know, here we know that we love God because we keep his commandments. We keep the commandments of God. The love of God is perfected when we're keeping his word and when we're walking as Jesus walked. And so he's talking about, in this way, our love towards God is perfected. And then he comes down here, and then after that, he says, and we're going to love our brothers, we're going to love our neighbors as ourselves. So he uses the exact same order that Jesus used. You know, our first priority in anything, our first priority is towards God. Whatever your situation, whether you're married, whether you're unmarried, whether you're a child, whether you're elderly, whether you own a business or whether you're a janitor, your first priority is always Jesus Christ. It is always God. You're always looking upward to heaven. And then right there in a close second, it's your love towards one another. It is your responsibilities to each other and your family and the church. And then after that comes everything else. You know, then you can go start working down the line. You get to things like your work or your hobbies. They're way down there. Your first priority is towards God. Your second priority is towards the brethren. And we're abiding in the light of when we're loving our brother, we're abiding in the light of Jesus Christ, because Jesus being the light, he loved his brothers. He loved us all, and he didn't show malice he didn't show any hatred towards any of us. You know, so if we're going to abide in the light, we're going to keep that same example of Jesus Christ. And really, I think that verse in Matthew kind of sums up in a way what John is saying right here, is that you're going to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you're going to love your brethren. So remember, we're going to, if we want to make our calling and election sure, we want to know that we know him, we're going to keep his commandments. We're going to read and keep the words of Jesus Christ, so we know that our love towards God is perfected. And secondly, we're going to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. We're going to love that brother. We're going to abide in that true light. Because Jesus Christ, the light, he lit up the way. He showed you the path of how you are to love your brother. So we're going to walk in that light of how Jesus conducted himself in the world. So I think we're running out of time right here. Lord willing, the next time I come to you, we'll pick up in 1 John 2, verse 12. So please be praying for that, and we can read ahead for that. That's all I have to say today. Let's go ahead. We'll sing.